a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all that he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot tempt. For God cannot be tempted by the devil, by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. Now we turn to Luke 11, verse 1 to 4. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Amen.
Beloved people in the Lord Jesus Christ, those of you who weren't here a couple of weeks ago, let me just recap a little bit about the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for our daily prayers. We don't necessarily have to follow it rigidly in its form, but it's a good pattern for our daily prayers. And let me just re-emphasize that we can only call God our Father because of what he has done for us in Christ. I made that point very clearly, that in love the Lord sent his Son to die for our sins so that we believing may have forgiveness of sins. And it's only in that sense, understanding that, that we can indeed call the Almighty Creator our Father. And then we also spoke about the two vertical petitions, namely that his name be hallowed and that his kingdom would come. Now this evening I want to speak about the horizontal petitions. And these horizontal petitions also show that our dependency is on our loving Father in Christ. And that's why we pray for our bread, for forgiveness, and for help in overcoming temptations. Now it's interesting, the first petition here seems simple enough. Give us each day our daily bread. But there is a richness here that makes this request rather beautiful. It has to do with the word translated daily, which appears here in Greek only in Luke's Gospel and in Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer. And the word can indicate either today's bread or tomorrow's bread. So the literal reading would be, our bread of tomorrow give us today. That's the literal reading. Now, I mention this for such an understanding allows for a dynamic interpretation that includes both our physical needs here and now, but also our ultimate need, spiritual need. As to physical needs, when prayed in the morning, this is a prayer for the needs of the day. And when prayed in the evening, it is a prayer for the needs of the next day. So, give us each day our bread of tomorrow is a prayer for the Almighty God, our Father, to meet our daily physical needs. It is significant that the initial thing Christ instructs us to pray for when we pray for ourselves is our daily bread, our material needs. Notice that we are invited to pray for bread, not dessert. We are not to use the latest Myer catalogue, or in my case, the latest JB Hi-Fi catalogue. One of the sweet realities of our prayer life is that God cares about the simple day-to-day needs of life. He cares whether his children are warm, whether they are fed, whether they are housed. He is concerned for our well-being, all those things that are necessary to maintain a whole, happy family, if you like. So what Christ is actually saying here is immensely freeing, if I'm going to put it like that. We don't have to achieve some lofty spiritual plane above the material and the mundane before we can offer requests to God. So in other words, we don't have to be super spiritual. Just forgiven sinners in Christ, we can come to the Father with the simplest of requests. We are not instructed to bring only the big things to God, but we can bring everyday things. A coat. You need some new shoes. A car, or books, or vacation. A parking spot, if you will. A bike, a doll, whatever. God meets us where we are, and therein lies a glimpse of a loving Father in heaven, our Father. See, even with the everyday needs, even so-called little things, we are glorifying Him. Herein lies another truth, namely that our dependence is upon the Father supplying these basic needs. No other line in the Lord's Prayer so directly challenges the times we live in. Is it not true, and I see this regularly on TV, it's almost sickening really when I watch, particularly when you watch Foxtel, every second commercial is about security. You're having life security. What happens when you die? Is there security for your family? And it goes on and on. There is nothing wrong with planning for future rainy days, but it is wrong to allow such things or such goals to consume us. How sad it is when someone dies financially secure and independent of no need of anything or anyone, even God. How sad. It's a spiritual tragedy. Jesus is telling us here, whether rich or poor, that God wants us to depend upon Him daily. He wants us to pray for our daily needs. And He wants us to thank Him daily. Give us each day our daily bread. However, this request, give us each day our daily bread, is also a request for the spiritual bread, a characteristic of the eternal state. And I believe that is justified, for first, the petition literally reads, as I said before, give us this day our bread for tomorrow. It's pointing to a future state. Second, the three preceding petitions, if we combine Luke's and Matthew's prayer, all ultimately refer to the final eternal state, where God's name will once and for all be hallowed, His kingdom will come, and His will be perpetually done. Therefore, it follows that the bread of tomorrow is also eternal. Third, Jesus used only one symbol to describe the eternal state of believers. And He used it many times. A joyous, great feast. Surely this is where the bread of heaven will be served. So in three ways we see that when Jesus bids us to pray for the bread of tomorrow, He is inviting us to pray for the bread of eternity today. He tells us here through the prayer that we can stretch out our hands, grasp the glorious bread of eternity, and feast upon it. How? By trusting in the Father's answer for our desperate need to be forgiven of our sins. By believing in the completed work of Christ. Jesus Himself said it, didn't He? John 6 verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You understand? What we're asking for is to know that Jesus is our Savior. We are asking that we may know Him as the bread of life. For ultimately, He is the bread of life, the eternal bread of life. And that begins, of course, with the Holy Spirit's work of making our hearts, making us aware of our sins and seeing the need to be forgiven. And that's the second horizontal petition to ask for forgiveness. Now, whatever you do this evening, don't say to me that you cannot forgive. Both Luke and Matthew's version says essentially the same thing. Forgive us our debts, or our sins if you like, as we also have forgiven our debtors, those who sin against us. This suggests that forgiveness must be fulfilled as a condition before we can ask God for forgiveness. And when we pray this prayer, we shouldn't be necessarily asking it passively. You know, Lord, please, please forgive us our sins. For the tense here is actually an imperative. It's almost as if we are demanding from God, forgive us our sin. And this is best understood when we see Luke's use of the present tense, when we forgive each other. Jesus stated it both ways to dynamically express the truth that a heart that asks for God's forgiveness must be a heart that has already forgiven and continues to forgive. You know, Augustine, St. Augustine, early church father, calls this the terrible petition. Because if we pray, forgive us our sins or our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, with an unforgiving heart, we are actually asking God not to forgive us. It's staggering, isn't it? I think there are other New Testament passages that bring this out. Here are some. Matthew 6, 14, 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It's clear, clear. Matthew 5:7 certainly implied, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. If you're not merciful, then you're not going to be shown mercy. James 2:13, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And the passage that we read last week from Matthew 18, then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. I mean, this is serious. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, a man can as well go to hell for not forgiving as for not believing. Charles Spurgeon said, unless you have forgiven others, you read your own death warrant when you repeat the Lord's Prayer. That's quite something, isn't it? We've prayed this prayer so often. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Have we really thought about it? True believers forgive and are forgiving and will be forgiven. That doesn't mean that we don't wrestle with forgiveness. We do. It does not mean that forgiveness comes naturally to real Christians. Many Christians' bitterness and hatred recur even though they have forgiven the offender. That's true. It's hard to maintain a forgiving spirit. I acknowledge that. But actually, the struggle is evidence of God's grace in the believer's heart. Otherwise, he or she would just turn to hatred. So the warning here is for those who claim to be Christian but will not forgive and have no desire to do so. So this petition, this one petition, is this forgiveness petition in the Lord's Prayer a curse or is it a blessing for you? Are our most tightly held position our grudges that we don't want to forgive? I mean, some people pride themselves on the fact that they will never forgive. Is it too much to say that if your attitude is like that, then you're probably not a Christian? Believers can't say that. See, this fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer is indeed a terrible petition. But it's also a gracious one. It cuts through all the evangelical jargon and monitors our spiritual health. Are we healthy, forgiving, and forgiven people? The importance of being forgiving cannot be overstressed. I put it to you, it is good for the health of our souls. Bitterness causes innumerable ailments, emotional, spiritual, even physical within us. I've said it before, and I do so again, to not forgive is like a slow cancer that can and does consume us. Seen it so often in the pastoral ministry. It's so sad when people fail to forgive. We also forgive for the sake of the world. The world has not yet discovered what Christ is like, but it can if we truly forgive. Do you need to forgive your spouse? Do it. Do it. Have you been unwilling to forgive your parents for something? Do it. Do it. Promise God right now that you will do it. Have you forgiven your employer who wronged you? Do it now. You can, with Christ's help. Do you have a grudge against your last church? Is it against your pastor or elders? Forgive. Forgive today. Forgiveness should mean more to you than your daily bread. It doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to our sinful actions. Of course it does. The murderer and the rapist and the child abuser, they need to be punished as the law requires. Sure. But we need to forgive. The final petition in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, has been a subject that has been misunderstood for many years, I think. Some of it have thought it reveals that God is the prime mover behind all temptations. Utterly false. Utterly false. James, the Lord's brother, makes this perfectly clear in James 1 verse 13. We read it. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. People have difficulty with it. Remember that verse. Remember that verse. Others have thought that if Christians will truly pray this prayer, God will miraculously lead them away from all temptations. However, continual temptation has been the experience of all the apostles and all the saints without exception. All of life is full of temptation. And the Greek word used here can mean temptation, enticement to engage in sin, or trial, testing. Here the meaning is temptation, that if it's yielded to, will lead us into sin. And it's important to note that temptation is actually good for us. It molded the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus himself. We could have read Matthew 4. When the Lord wandered into the wilderness. Jesus withstood all the temptations of Satan. And with those temptations conquered, he went on to live a sinless life and became the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And again, he triumphed over temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, and when the devil said, look at that awful cross, look at that awful cross. And Jesus prayed 3 times, Father, take this cup from me, if it be your will. And the Father said, no, you have to go to the cross. That's the only way for sinners to be saved. Hebrews mentions it actually. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2:10. So if temptations helped shape the life and ministry of Christ, how much more can they do so for us? Temptation, when resisted, develops our moral character. James writes again in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. See, the Lord's recommended prayer regarding temptation is not that we be delivered from all temptation, for temptation, trials and testing are necessary for the health of our souls. Properly understood, this prayer asks God to deliver us from overpowering temptations, recognizing that we are liable to fold under such enticement and assault. We are weak, mortal human beings. We are not always that spiritually strong. See, this prayer shows a humble awareness of our weakness and our utter dependence on the Father. See, if the Father didn't give us strength at these times, we would be vulnerable and we would easily stumble. And we are never so vulnerable as when we think we are past a certain temptation. The strongest, oh, perhaps it's the wrong word, the wisest believers are sure that they cannot stand apart from the grace of God, and they will continually plead, lead us not into temptation that is beyond our capacity to withstand. 3 horizontal petitions. The Lord wants us, His disciples, to consciously depend upon the Father for their most basic needs. No need is too mundane or too small. He glorifies Himself by supplying all that we need. And ultimately, of course, Himself, the bread of life. We can live without food. We can live without water for a time. And we can even live without air for a time. But we cannot live without Jesus, the bread of life. Second, having been forgiven by Christ, let us be forgiving people who daily seek the forgiveness of Christ. Let's examine ourselves daily. Confess daily. See, this is a daily petition. And then finally, let us also humbly pray that the Father will lead us away from any temptation that is too much for us. Let us embrace His testing, for it builds the fiber of our soul. But let us also plead for deliverance from temptations that would prevail. 3 horizontal petitions, all showing our utter dependence on the Father. May He humble us, may we call on Him, and may He be glorified through our petitions to Him. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Give us also the bread of tomorrow. Lord, we don't know what life is until we have tasted the bread of tomorrow. And Father, we know that You in Your great love sent Your one and only Son into this world to be the bread of life. Lord, may each person here this evening have tasted Him. May they know their forgiveness. May they know their sure security is in Him and in Him alone, now and for always. Father, we also pray that we are able to forgive one another. Lord, take away our pride. Humble us if need be. Make us a forgiving people. And then forgive us our sin. And Father, we pray that You would not lead us into temptations that would overtake us, but that You would protect them, protect us from them. Lord, we thank You that no temptation is too great, for You are watching over us. You will see us through. And so, Lord, we pray that through these 3 petitions, Your name might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.